Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. I hope you've had a good day if it's Thursday. Wish you a good day if it's the repeat program on Friday. And if you're listening to podcasts or from the webpage, Reflections by Jorge Gonzalez, well then, whatever moment of the day it is, whatever is left and what you're doing now, I hope you're enjoying it and having a good time at it. Okay, so I don't know where to start, with the joke or with the with an article. I think I'll start with the article. They both have to do with the sea and with the possible death. And the article is in the opinión section of El Nuevo Día of April 11th, last Saturday. And it's an article by Eliu Pérez, an engineer and a composer. And he describes how in the beach in El Peñón of Arecibo, despite being warned, he went into the ocean. It was quite rough. And he was taken by the currents and was about to lose his life. And one of the first things, you know, he says, "En ese momento, uno piensa en logros ni en trabajo. Piensa en sus hijos, en su familia, en lo que aún no ha dicho, y luego pide ayuda." At that given moment, you don't think about your successes or your work. You think about your children, your family, and what you still haven't said. And then you ask for help. And he says he's telling this story because of the heroism by two persons. One, a friend, Carlos Santana Vera, an engineer by profession a surfer, and who told him that it was not advisable for him to go into the ocean that day. And he was one that went out and to help him. But the principal person was someone he did not know, Eliut Abisai, A-B-I-S-A-I, a guitarist, a prophetic culture, a group that he mentions here in the article. And, you know, he's not at that moment, not as an artist or a public figure, just someone who saw a person in need and without the hesitation, you jumped in to help. And when he got out, he took a picture with Eliut's son, which gives you an indication that Eliut himself was nowhere really to be found. He just did his job, what he thought was necessary for another human being. And he didn't. He said he was so grateful. He wrote to him. He sent him a book. He tried to reach him to express, you know, his gratitude, and no response from Eliut Abisai. And he says, "Con el tiempo entendí que hay personas que hacen lo correcto y siguen su camino en silencio, sin buscar reconocimientos, sin contar la historia, sin detenerse." Y quizás por eso mismo su gesto fue aún más grande. That he came to understand that there are persons who do the right thing and continue their journey in silence. They don't look for recognition. They don't look to recite their story. They just, you know, continue to move on. They don't stop. And maybe because of that reason, the gesture is even greater. And basically, you know, he just says that we had to be careful in entering the ocean. He hopes this article gives other people the lesson that the ocean is very dangerous. And the title of the article, or the opinion section, is "El día que el mar me perdonó," the day that the ocean forgave me. And I kind of circled the mar and said, you know, Dios. I thought it kind of was interesting, you know, that the names are, you know, his name is Eliu, L-I-U, with an accent on the U, Pérez. And the person who saved him is Eliut, with a T, the same letters as his name, you know, with the T. So I found that a coincidence. But by talking about coincidence, I was before reading or rereading this article. I had cut it out Saturday, but you put it aside, and you forget some of these articles that you cut out, and you're thinking you may be using in the next program. The other day, it was Monday, and I was on the track there, the Crisi Gonzalez track in front of the condominium there on San Patricio Avenue, and with a friend start talking, and we were just saying how it's important for us to take care of ourselves physically and mentally, but basically at that moment physically, and I was saying which I'll describe now, that I was pretty happy that I had was finishing the goal of the three triathlons, arriving at 82 miles for my birthday, and I was saying that have to be humble that luckily I have physical abilities to be able to do this, but that have humble that that I can get in a second it can all be taken away. And then you're thankful for God, but then I jokingly said, but on the other hand, we have to do our part. And then I reminded me of a joke by Alvarez Guedes, the Cuban, I just love his. He can be pretty crude, but I love his jokes and some of them have a really good lesson. And this particular story and joke is one I always remember, and I think it has a profound sense to it. And it's basically that there was a flood, and a guy on the boat, rescuing different people, bringing them to safety, went by, let's call him, Pepe, Pepe's house. And Pepe was in the water was already in the floor level and rising, and come on, Pepe, it's going to continue to rise. The dam is in danger of overflowing and maybe even breaking. I believe in God. He's not going to let this nothing happen to me. Thank you, the boat guy moves on. And in about another hour or so, he comes by, and now the water's at the second level, to a two-level house. And again, he says, Pepe, the water's continuing. The dam now is definitely overflowing, and it could break any moment, and you're not going to survive. And Pepe says, I believe in God and have faith in Him, and He's not going to let this thing go beyond what I can handle, and thank you. So he goes off, and then the third time he comes, and there's Pepe on the roof, and the water's on his ankles, and he says, Pepe, I'm sure the dam's going to break, the water's going to continue to rise, and the kinds of currents and the things that are in the water, you're just not going to survive this. And Pepe, very stubborn, I believe in God and have faith in Him, and I'm sorry, go on. And what happened had to happen. He died, and he goes up to heaven, and he meets up with God, and he says, I have so much faith in you. How could you have let me do this? How could you have me die when all the faith I have? And God says to him, but I sent for you three times. So we have to do our part, be humble that God's going to help us and thank Him for what He's done. But we have to do our part. And in that regard, I was telling them, I'm relatively proud of though. I want to sort of do it completely as I would want. I have been telling you listeners, the ones who have been on past programs that I have now for a number of years. It started in the early 70s. I did the half Ironman, 71 and 72, back in 2014 and 15. to do triathlons for a mile for each year of my birthday, and I continued it, but you know, not doing the half Ironman, which are in one day. It's really, really tough to prepare for and to undertake on that one particular day. So what I do now is I do three triathlons, three consecutive days, all adding up to my birthday, the number of years of my birthday. So this year, on the 29th of April, I'll be 82. So it's 82 miles, and you know, you break it down, 70 miles biking, and which is about 24 a day, and then 10 miles running, which is about three and a third each day, and 2 miles swimming, which is about 1,100 meters a day. But unfortunately, I pulled something in my knee, and for about 4 or 5 days was hobbling and couldn't do any exercise, and then slowly started doing swimming and biking, but you know, not and walking, and so I've been set back about 10 days. But in any case, today, and I'm recording this on Wednesday. I recovered from what? I mean, I ran 3.5. But for the last few days, every about 2.5 miles, and I start feeling a little bit of a tinge there, and so just you know walk off and not continue, and then I've been 275, 2 miles and 75, 2.75, and then, in summary, I did the 82 miles, but kind of. In the morning walking, and then in a little bit finishing off in the afternoon, and although I did the biking and the swimming, I kind of it wasn't a nice clean, you know, the 3.5 mile runs that I should do just before I bike and then swim, but 82 miles were reached in a scrangy kind of way. So, and I usually like that, you know, by mid-April or second, kind of more or less have it. So, you know, and then, you know, work to do it a nice clean. So I think I've at least covered myself, but I'm not completely satisfied. And let's see if I can do the nice, you know, back-to-back run, bike, swim. And do it, you know, the 3.5 and the 24 and the 1,100 meters. So pushing. So I was telling this person, you know, you've got to fight physically. You got to fight, you know, your emotion and your mind and everything else. Hope that God helps you, and all. But you have to do your part. So so that's where we are. This Saturday, changing topics, you know, from the ocean and the joke, and you basically have to do your own, take care of yourself, even though you're very, you know, spiritual and believe in God, you have to do your part. This Saturday, we had a really uplifting event. I've said on a number of occasions this. A project, a contest for students between 14 and 18 years of age to put together a 60-second, not more than a minute, video dealing with violence, the emotion of violence and anger, the emotion the emotion of anger that causes to a great extent to violence. And so... On Saturday at the Sagrado Corazón at the TV1 Ferrer Rangel Communications School at Sagrado Corazón, we brought the four finalists. They did not know who was going to be the winner. We had $2,500 for the winner and $500 for each of the other three finalists, and we had the students describe their video, what brought about the ideas, what was behind their ideas and their creativity, and we had the judges describe how they found the different videos and what they would look for and all. And then we watched after each for the presentation by the students. There was one from Cuamo, Barranquitas. He goes to a Cuamo school, but he lives, his home is in Barranquitas, and you know he's right on the border there. And the other one, a girl was from Yauco, public school in Yauco, and the boy from Cuamo was from public school, and we had a girl from Tasis Dorado, and another guy from STEAM Academy in the San Juan. And they were all excellent videos. It was, as the judges were saying, it was very difficult to choose a winner. But basically after showing the four and having all four of them explain their position and, you know, as to why they, one of them was called Apagate. Another one was El Monstruo, and another one was a Switch. Which the light switch was used as the motif, and the fourth was controlling emotions, after the fourth, I says, okay, now we're gonna repeat the one who won, and everybody great expectations, you know. There was very few of us. I was one of, I don't think there were more than four or five people who knew the winner, and it was the young guy who's in eighth grade. In the Cuamo Barranquitas, who won with Apagate, and it was a video with him walking down a rural road with fire flames coming out of his head, and then you see him opening up the gate to a house. He walks into the house, and you see him the clothes on the on falling on the floor, and he steps into a shower, puts out the shower curtain. All very very no nudity or anything, and then you see through the shower curtain the flame going down, the smoke going off, and then you see him with the water coming down his face, and then taking some deep breaths. And then it just says apagate, you know, turn off. It was a really, really very creative and very powerful message, and very simply put, with you know what happens like in novels and in movies and in art, you know, what created his anger. There's no indication, but you know, so you can relate, you can imagine what it was. So that was, you know, a great activity, very uplifting. Great to see kids do being creative. We'll continue when we come back. This is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections. Right, take the pause.